There's also the fact that fantasy literature, as Tolkien says, is supposed to generate escape. And while mainstream literature can generate escape while you're reading that, especially, I would think, Salman Rushdie, when you're reading Salman Rushdie, you enter in an entirely different world, and you do escape from the world that you're in now. But when you're at the end of the book, when you've finished it, you're not just back in the world that you started in, but you're back in the world thinking about things that are in that world. The Tolkien fantasy, Ursula Le Guin's fantasy, it seems to be when you finish the book, you can still escape into that fantasy realm, as so many people do, and not just the people who dress up at conventions, but the people who think very deeply or imagine very deeply what elvish poetry would be like or what it would be like to have eternal life and so forth. All of these things have a very different effect than mainstream literature, even magical realism. In fact, I would say magical realism does the opposite of escape. It takes the realistic conventions of language, applies them to fantastical situations or events, and therefore it brings the reader's thoughts back on the language itself, not on the things that are behind the language. It's hard to think, like, again, reading Salman Rushdie, what is behind the language? It's all about the language. It's about the beauty of language. It's about the beauty of language, the way certain flute concertos can be just about the sound of the flute even more than they can be about the tune that it's playing. In Tolkienian fantasy, despite all the pains that Tolkien or Le Guin or others take to their language, it's about the language generating something else, not the language as an abstract entity. Now, if we want to view this negatively, we can say that magical realism, rather than providing escape, tries to show that there is no escape. That even if we talk of impossible things, we can't escape the prison house of language, as Foucault would describe it, the constraints of the world and the constraints of our intellectual systems. But I don't think this stance comes through in every writer of magical realism. It certainly doesn't come through in Helpern and Umberto Eco, but it's there a little bit, and it's one of the reasons that magical realism, as beautiful as it is, can be profoundly depressing to read. Even when one recognizes the beauty and the intellectual accomplishments of the writers, you can sometimes finish a magical realist book, a Garcia Marquez book in particular, and be like, wow, that was beautiful, and now I'll slam my head in the door. And that's one of the problems with magical realism to me, is that it doesn't achieve that level of escape that fantasy does. And I would love to see writers who are that good, writers who have that sentence-level skill, applying their skills to something that's more uplifting, like fantasy literature, and maybe not the same just kind of sterile, in the end, play of language that so many of the magical realists do. Tolkien, Le Guin, others, they have no problem with language creating reality. But they want that reality to be better than the real reality of the world. They want it to be more powerful. They want it to be more awe-inspiring. They don't want it to be limited to the things that can be described realistically.